Christmas in the Old Testament. And I was thinking of calling it Christmas Past, because this evening we're going to be thinking about Christmas Future, and by that I mean the second coming of our Lord Jesus. And one of the thoughts about that struck me on Monday, when I realized that last Sunday was the first Sunday in Advent. And usually it's four Sundays, I think, before Christmas. And that was last week. And I'm not a great stickler for the sort of ecclesiastical calendar of these things. So I'm going to do it out of sync. I'm sure a lot of churches probably did do the first Sunday in Advent and celebrated that, but we didn't. But one of the traditions of churches is that on the first Sunday in Advent, instead of preaching about the Christmas message, the Christmas story, they start off by talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, his second coming. So that's what we're going to be thinking of and looking at this evening, his second coming. Some years ago, quite a few years ago now, I remember somebody asked me, well, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, what will he come as? He was pretty certain that the Lord Jesus wouldn't turn up as a carpenter this time. And he was making various suggestions. He thought he might become as president of the United States of America, was one of his suggestions. Or perhaps a solicitor or a scientist or something like that. But of course, he didn't really understand what Jesus was going to, how Jesus is going to come, which is what we're going to be looking at tonight. But one thing he didn't suggest was that Jesus would come as king. And that, of course, is exactly what he will come as, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, by now, you would realize that I am saying that the Lord Jesus Christ will come again. So that's our very first point. I put a question mark there, but there's no real question mark. Will Jesus come again? Of course he will. Yes, he most certainly will do so. And we have one verse of Scripture. We could have done several verses of Scripture. I think one verse of Scripture makes that very clear and plain that he will come again. And it is when the disciples are saying their goodbye to the Lord Jesus there on the Mount of Olives, and as he ascends into heaven, they discover that there's somebody there with them. And it's an angel, or two angels. We read these words in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men, I think we can pretty certainly say that the two angels stood by him, stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Jesus is coming back. But I guess if you were to ask people outside of perhaps church circles whether or not the Lord Jesus Christ will come again, they probably would say something like this: "Well, I haven't given it much thought." And perhaps they might even say, "Well, I don't think so. Why hasn't he come already?" They're a bit like the people that Peter was writing to in one of his epistles, who were saying the same thing. You know, why hasn't he come? Everything is going on the same as it was in creation. And Peter had to remind them that it wasn't always like that, that there was the flood, and that the Lord Jesus Christ will come again. And sadly, we discover that even some ministers over a number of years have cast doubt on the coming of the Lord Jesus. In fact, one quite well-known former archbishop in the 1950s shocked the Anglican communion, or community, I should say, because he said that the Lord Jesus Christ had already come, and he had come at Pentecost as the Holy Spirit. Well, that's not what the Bible says. So what we're going to be doing is actually thinking, what does the Bible say? And of course, the very first thing we can say is this: the Bible declares that this same Jesus who went up into heaven will come from heaven back down to earth. Well, question is, how will he come? How will the Lord Jesus Christ come again? Well, let's go to one portion of Scripture, perhaps one of the most descriptive parts of Scripture that speaks of the Lord's coming, and it's one that Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, because there he was dealing with a problem. Some people had come from different places and were saying and disturbing the Christians of Thessalonica and saying, he's come already. Well, what Paul wants to tell us is that when Jesus comes, we won't miss it. So what does he say? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Well, those are very encouraging words, comforting words. And so Paul says at the end of verse 18 there, therefore comfort one another with these words. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, all those who are belonging to him, all those who have put their faith in him, will meet him, will meet Jesus at the same time. The great throng of what we could call the universal church will come and surround the Lord Jesus. The dead will rise first. They're coming with Jesus from heaven, aren't they? And all who are left on that occasion, who are alive, will meet with Jesus at that time. How will he come? Well, he will come in glory. There will be that, as it were, the glory light of heaven. And what's that going to be like? Well, the nearest kind of description I think we can give of that is to remember how the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, when he went up to that mountain and he's there with just the select few of his disciples, and we discover there that Jesus' clothing was transformed into something which was whiter than white. And he meets with Elijah and Moses, doesn't he? And what happens? There seems to be this glory light. Well, I think it's going to be even more intense and more widespread when the Lord Jesus Christ comes that second time. And the scriptures refer to it as an apocalypse. Now, apocalypse is a Greek word, and it means this. It means an unveiling. It means a revealing of heaven and earth. You know, on earth, we can't see heaven, can we? We can't see eternity. We can't see the spiritual realm. But when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, both heaven and earth will be revealed. We'll see the angels. We'll see the saints that have gone on before us. We'll see all of God's creation. Heaven and earth will be revealed. And it will be obvious when he comes. There in this passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, what do we hear? We read that when the Lord Jesus Christ descends from heaven, there will be a shout. There'll be such a noise. It won't be quiet. It won't be a gentle whisper. We'll all be aware of his coming. They'll, like the voice of an archangel, we're told, and with the trumpet of God, if I can put it like this, there'll be a deafening din. And you'll know that Christ has come. it'll be obvious. I remember somebody saying to me, well, how can the world know when Christ comes? This is some years ago now, but I think we can imagine how the world can know. When we think about the internet and we think about all this media, you know, within a few seconds we can know what's happening in another part of the world. Well, this is even going to be faster than that. Everybody will know, and it'll be obvious. Let me take you to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 and 8. And there John says, behold, he is coming with clouds. He's talking about the coming of Jesus. See, John is one of the people who have saw the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. He's heard what these angels have said about him coming back. And now he's talking about the same event, Christ coming back. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes, all the peoples of the earth will mourn him because of him. Even so, amen. And there in verse 8, it just reminds us of Jesus. I am the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end, isn't he? Says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. That's Jesus. And as we notice that there's going to be a great sound, a great trumpet blast from heaven. One of the interesting connections I made in my own mind was this, that in the Old Testament, they used to have these years of Jubilee. Every 7 years, there would be a Jubilee year. But then there would be the Super Jubilee, which would be 7 times 7 years, which is 49 years, or the 50th year. And what would happen in Israel at that time for this Super Jubilee, would there be a trumpet blast loud from Jerusalem, declaring that year? Well, I wonder whether that's a pointer to the trumpet blast that will come when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and there'll be that Jubilee when the Savior has come upon earth, and he will come as Lord and King. Let's remind ourselves of that. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and verse 11. The previous verses spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ, who became obedient to death, even death on the cross, even though he was the very Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. And then we're told in verse 9 of Philippians 2, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, there's another thing that's going to happen when he comes, and perhaps this is a bit more sobering for us. It's certainly going to be very sobering for those who don't yet know the Lord Jesus Christ, that when he comes again, he will come as judge of the earth. And we can find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, he will come in his glory. He will come as Lord and King. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, says chapter 1 in the book of Revelation. And he'll come as judge. But there's a third point, and it's this. When will he come? When will he come? Over the centuries, there's been much discussion, and there have been much ink spilt over the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he's going to come, and what are the signs to look out for. And certain kinds of theology were preached. But let's listen to what Jesus says about his coming. I think that's the way to go forward. And we see that in the reading that we had in Matthew 24 and verses 36 to 44. And what we can say of this is when he comes, It will be sudden. There will be those who will be busy about their business. One will be taken and one will be left. But also, we read this, especially in verse 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So, yes, here's a warning to you. If someone says they've got it all worked out and they know exactly the day in which the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again, I suggest you don't believe them, because only the Father knows. Over 2,000 years, there's been much speculation about the return of the Lord Jesus. The year 1000 AD, great excitement in the Christian church at that time. They fully expected the Lord to come in that millennial period. Of course, he didn't, did he? I was a pastor in a church in Swansea at the time, the year 2000. And you remember the year 2000 had much, if you're young enough to remember that, the year 2000, there was a lot of hype about that, wasn't there? You know, there was this was the millennium bug, wasn't it? Your microwaves are not going to work anymore, I remember. But I had some Koreans in the church, and they were getting quite excited about the year 2000, because one of the big sort of super churches in Korea were so convinced that the Lord would come in the year 2000 that they arranged for their membership of several thousand to climb a particular mountain in Korea on that New Year's Eve, because they expected the Lord Jesus Christ to come. Well, it was commendable that they were expecting Jesus to come. We praise them for that. But of course, what happened was that New Year's Day, they had to come back down the mountain again. And of course, the Korean press, world press, made a big laugh about that, didn't they? But the Lord Jesus Christ tells us he's going to come like a thief in the night, when we least expect it. I remember somebody saying to me about that 1999, saying, well, do you think the Lord Jesus Christ will come in the year 2000? And I said, I don't think he will come in the year 2000, simply because he will come as a thief in the night. If we expect him to come in the year 2000, he won't come. When we don't expect him to come, that's when he'll come. But the important thing is, he is going to come. And when he comes, he'll come unexpectedly. And that's what verse 36 is telling us here in Matthew 24. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. It'd be like the days of Noah, says Jesus here. You know, when the people in Noah's day were all busy about their work, they were getting married, planning weddings and all kinds of things. And then Noah was in his ark, and the flood came. Read in verse 40. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, and the other left. And then he says, verse 42, watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Well, the fourth point, and it's this, is to ask the question, what is our response to our Savior's return? I suspect that there are lots of people in our own nation, perhaps millions of people in our own nation, who don't believe that Jesus will come again. They like the story of Jesus. They like the fact that Jesus was a good man, who was a great teacher, a prophet, and that there was something good sort of happened at the cross at Calvary to make people better. But, you know, once you're dead, you're dead. That's the way people think, isn't it? So how can a dead man come to life? How can he not only come to life, how can he go to heaven and come back again? And you remember how Paul, when he was speaking to the people at Athens, there at Mars Hill, do you remember how, when he started talking about the resurrection of Jesus, They started laughing at him. Well, I guess people will probably laugh at us because we're saying that Jesus will come again. Doesn't seem possible. No one's ever come back from heaven. But Jesus will. And he'll come back from heaven as King and Lord. And if there's anyone here, be it online or here in the building, who think in some way that you can dismiss this whole second coming of Jesus as something that won't happen, you need to think again, because the scripture is very clear. He will return. He will return as King and Lord. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess him. But as we said, he's also going to come back as judge. The judge of us all. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body. But if you do believe, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know the Lord Jesus Christ will come from heaven because he's ascended into heaven, he's at the right hand of the Father, he's waiting, as it were, for the call from the Father to say, right, go, he'll come. What should be our response to the thought of our Savior's return? Well, very briefly, I would say this. There should be an expectancy. You know, we talked about the Koreans. We might have thought it was quite funny that these Korean Christians went up into that mountain expecting the Lord Jesus Christ to return at that moment, the year 2000. But do we have an expectancy? Will we wake up? I was going to say, will we go to bed this evening expecting the Lord Jesus Christ to come? More importantly, if the Lord doesn't come and we wake up on Monday morning, are we expecting him then? Do we wake up perhaps a little bit disappointed? You haven't come back yet, Lord. But we believe that you will. Is there an expectancy? Is there a longing? And perhaps as we see the world's news, we see all the violence, the bloodshed, man's inhumanity to man. And possibly even as we come to Christmas and we think of the angel's words, you know, peace and goodwill to men, to mankind. And we might say to ourselves, there's not much peace and there's not much goodwill around at the moment, is there? And there may be a longing. Oh, if only the Lord Jesus Christ would come. Because the world is getting worse and worse, we might say. The place is getting darker and darker. People are drifting further and further away from the Lord. If the Lord would come again and sort it all out. And maybe that longing, that might be so. There's that hope that it will be so. That's a hope that's in our heart, isn't it? That should get us up in the morning. The hope that he's going to come again. The hope that God is working out his plan and his purposes to that end when Jesus will come again. And there's that prayer that perhaps we should pray. Perhaps we don't pray it, but it's a prayer that should be praying, come, Lord Jesus. Let me remind you of something that is written at the end of the book of Revelation, chapter 22 and verse 20 to 21. Words of Jesus at the end. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I'll be praying also for the coming of the Lord Jesus. He will come. Are we prepared? Are we expectant of it? Are we longing for it? Are we hoping for it? Are we praying for it? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the promise that you've given to us as your people. A promise not only that our sins are forgiven, a promise not only that our Our real homes are in heaven, but the promise that the Lord Jesus Christ will come again. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us by your Holy Spirit and by your words to walk in that promise. As we see all the things that are going on in the world and all the things that hurt us and wound us, as we see such ungodliness and blasphemy and irreligion all around us, Lord, may we know something of your touch upon us and that reminder to us that Jesus will come again. And all this fallenness, all that has been lost in Adam will be restored and even better in Christ, the second Adam. And that when he comes, he'll come to reign. He will be the King of Kings and he will be the Lord of Lords. And he will be the judge of all the world. And those who know him, those who love him, and those who serve him will be with him. And Lord, there'll be that time when we will be caught up with him to sing his praises in the great company of heaven itself. And all will be revealed to us, heaven and earth, and all of creation. But more importantly, we'll see Jesus, the author, the finisher, the precious Jesus who is our Lord and Redeemer, the precious Jesus, the Messiah, Savior, Son of God, the precious Jesus who is our Lord and Savior. Amen.